Right. Hi, I'm Merlin. Yeah, I'm excited to be here today. Wow, so many people. yeah, I wasn't originally scheduled to speak today, but I jumped in as a backup. So haven't had quite as much time to prepare as I'd like, so I hope you'll forgive me if it's a little rough around the edges. But yeah, I want to talk to you about live coding with Kotlin and Compose multi-platform. Yeah, so I'm a full stack engineer. I do a good bit of Android development. I've had a casual interest in live coding for some time. And one thing that I work with a lot, the programming language I work with the most is Kotlin, and I work with this Compose UI framework. And I had this idea to repurpose it for live coding. So I have a couple questions for you all. Who here has used Kotlin? All right, quite a few. Who has used Compose multi-platform or Jetpack Compose for Android? Fewer, but a few, okay. And who here has used React? More people. Okay, great. So I will draw some analogies between Compose and React throughout the talk. I hope that will help some of you make the concepts more accessible for some of you. Yeah, so let's let me show you what I will be talking about. Oh, this is not. No, I have the slides here, but I can't. Can I? No. Sorry about this. There we go. Okay. So, yeah, what I want to talk about is firstly Kotlin and Compose multi-platform. Then a little bit about the functional declarative paradigm, which underlies Compose and which is also popular with live coding. Then I will introduce the little library I've been building, which I call Da Capo, and talk about why am I repurposing a UI framework for music for live coding. I'll talk a little bit about the fundamental building blocks of UI and draw some parallels with fundamental building blocks of music. I'll talk about state management and how Da Capo works under the hood. I'll talk about implementing these musical building blocks, a DSL for expressing rhythm, and connecting up building blocks together. Yeah, and then I talk about the multi-platform element of it. So Compose multi-platform, it works on different platforms, desktop, Android, iOS, web. And finally, integrations with Compose UI and visualizations. So firstly, Kotlin and Compose multi-platform. So Compose multi-platform is a declarative UI framework with a functional paradigm. It's similar to React. No, it's not going on to the next slide. There we go. There are similarities with React, which is a JavaScript framework, and Compose is for Kotlin, basically. Kotlin started out as Java with less boilerplate. It was made by some frustrated Java developers. And yeah, it's become a flexible multi-paradigm language with support for the web, with support even for iOS. So yeah, that's the multi-platform element. Kotlin is my main language, and I'm using Jetpack Compose, which is the Android version of Compose multi-platform and the version that they made first before they made Compose multi-platform. I use that a lot. So this is something that I'm quite used to using, and I thought it would be fun to explore what else can be done with it. Yeah, so Compose is the standard way to create UIs on Android, and also now with Compose multi-platform in Kotlin generally. Yeah, so the functional declarative paradigm, it's popular with live coding as well. Some prominent examples are Haskell's title, JavaScript's strudel, Clojure has an overtone. They're all kind of in either a functional language, or in the case of JavaScript, it's just a functional framework. So this functional declarative paradigm, meaning you specify what you want and not how to go about it. We'll see that in a minute as well with some examples. So while Kotlin is not a functional language, it supports that paradigm, and the UI frameworks Compose and React are both built on it. And what I noticed when looking at these different live coding frameworks, I didn't find any that were actually built on a UI framework like this. So there's nothing for Compose, and I checked for React, and I didn't find anything there either, which surprised me, given the size of the React ecosystem. And I wanted to try this out. Try this out with what I call Da Capo. So leveraging Compose multi-platform for audio generation and live coding. It will be available under the MIT license. It's still in the early stages. So it's under heavy development right now. And you can check it out already, but I would recommend maybe checking it out at some later point when it's a little further developed. So I'll be talking mostly about the concepts underlying it in this talk and like the particular the interesting parts of using a UI framework like this. Go to the next slide. So why? Why am I doing this? Why would I repurpose a UI framework for live coding? It turns out basically that a lot of the features that are useful for UI development can be repurposed. And it lowers the barrier to entry for developers who are already familiar with the UI framework, in this case for Compose developers. There's a lot of work that you have to do when you make a live coding library, and some of that work can be offloaded to the framework. So I'm using it for state management, for animating values, for dynamically adding or removing blocks that build up the audio, basically. And IntelliJ and Android Studio also has like preview features for Compose where you can preview the UI right in the IDE with live updates, which is also quite handy. So fundamental building blocks. I'm going to talk about what the fundamental building blocks are in a UI framework and then draw some parallels with music, basically. So in a framework like Compose or React, you have some fundamental blocks. You have layout elements, something like a row to put elements in or a column. You have the actual UI components. You have buttons, you have text fields, and so on. You have stateful values that leverage whatever state management your UI framework provides. You have values that change over time, animations. You have effects, so performing an action whenever a component enters the tree or leaves the tree. When I say tree in Compose, I mean the composition. In React's case, it's the DOM, basically whenever a component gets mounted or unmounted. And you also have a need to sometimes make values accessible from anywhere in the tree, like a theme that you want to apply to every component. So how does this compare to the requirements for music? So rather than layouts in music, you have timing. You want to play something at the same time as something else. You want to play it in order. You want to express rhythm. You want to play sounds. These are like your UI building blocks, like a button or a text field. You have instead like a synth or playing some samples. You have, again, stateful values, values that update and change the music as it plays. And for these, we can leverage the state management of the framework. You have values changing over time to make the music dynamic. And again, you can leverage the animation capabilities of your framework. You need to schedule and cancel audio. We'll look at how Da Capo does this in a minute. And this is something where we can leverage the effects that UI frameworks provide. And then you have things that you want to be available throughout your program, like volume control or setting a BPM that's consistent for all the components. And this is much like the theming that I mentioned with UI. You want to make some value available throughout your program. So We start with managing state. So in Compose, we have something that is literally called state. And this is similar to the use state hook in React, if you're familiar. Whenever the state changes, the Compose tree, the composition automatically updates. So we can basically, for example, set a synth. We'll say we want a piano synth. And then we write a block that actually plays some music using that synth. And when we change this value, then the synth will automatically update. Then to actually make it work. So inside of this Da Capo library, basically we need to use something to schedule audio and to cancel it again. So whenever a component gets mounted, whenever anything gets added to the tree, we want to schedule some audio that wants to be played. And whenever we remove a component, we need to cancel that audio, cancel that scheduling. And yeah, to that end, Compose provides something called disposable effect, allowing us to run something when the component enters the tree and something else when the component leaves the tree. And this is similar, again, to React's use effect hook. Then let's look at making values available throughout. Basically for things like a volume control or setting BPM. This is where Compose provides something called composition local. This is similar to React's context, if you're familiar. Basically a way to set a value and have it be available anywhere downstream in the tree. So basically we make a composable function here for an absolute volume where we set the volume via the composition local. And can also set relative volume the same way by reading the current value of the composition local and modifying it. And the same can be done for setting BPM, for setting a relative tempo that's, say, half as fast as the current one. So this is where the composition local is quite handy. Then, for synths and samples. So actually, I'm building these from the ground up, from scratch. And this is fun. it's also quite educational because I'm not as familiar with some of these concepts and I'm getting some familiarity with like fundamentals here, which is really nice. So we schedule synths and samples through effects. and then they can basically be embedded in other blocks to modify the sound. We want to shape the envelope of the sound, like an ADSR envelope, attack, decay, sustain, release. And for that, what should the API for that look like? So there's the option to basically use blocks and just say, okay, you embed your synth inside an envelope block and that gives you an envelope shaped for your synth. But there's something more convenient. So what Compose calls modifiers. So these modifiers basically are used for padding, for sizing, for setting a border around a component. And I've repurposed this modifier concept, and I'm calling mine conditioners. So here we can basically say we play a synth, and we condition it with an envelope. And we can do the same for effects, like if we have a reverb component, we can nest a synth component in it, and then we have a synth with some reverb. Or we can use the conditioning to basically achieve the same outcome. Then basic timings and playing sounds simultaneously as well as in order. So timing primitives, like playing sounds in parallel, cycling over different sounds, one on each beat, or splitting up time equally. So we can express basic timings like this. We can play A, and at the same time, we'll play B on the first beat. On the second beat, we'll first play C, and then on the next half beat, we'll play D. So basically, these timing blocks can give us that control. We can create a drum machine basically just by playing different samples and again use composition local to leverage switching out the drum machine for a different one. We can make a more convenient DSL for expressing rhythms, something like this. Basically, we use strings, we represent breaks by spaces, and on the other beats we play one sound or another by basically specifying which sample corresponds to which symbol in the string. And there's one more concept that I want to talk about in Compose. It's called constraint layout. So basically, rather than laying out components in a grid, we can anchor components to other components, and sometimes when we make a complex layout, that's more convenient. So we specify that a button should show at the top of the parent, and then a text here should show below the button. And this is achieved by this constraint layout. And I was quite pleased to see that actually there's a nice analogy there, where something like a constraint layout is quite useful. So if we're hooking up different audio building blocks, like say we have some kind of sine wave generator, and we have a delay element that takes an input and applies a delay to it. We have a reverb that takes an input and applies a reverb to it. Then we can also use the same approach as with a constraint layout to hook these up to each other, to basically say, hey, the sine wave generator I will call generator, and then the delay accepts input from that generator, the reverb accepts input from the delay. I see that I'm running out of time here. So I'll just quickly say, implementing this on multiple platforms is quite feasible because 16-bit pulse code modulation is well supported. But I don't want to reinvent the wheel, so I'm also looking to hook this up to some libraries under the hood, something like SuperCollider, at least on desktop. But this requires careful abstractions and ensuring that the audio backends can support the features consistently. I will, at this point, I think, because we've run out of time, leave it here. Thank you so much for listening. The Da Capo will be available there. Oops, I have stopped showing slides. Sorry about that. Yes, it will be available at the URL there. If you have done something similar or have any expertise you want to share, please reach out. I would be super interested to discuss. You can reach me there, my email. And yeah, if there's time, I would happily take some questions now.
Thank you. Thank you, Marilyn. And I'm also the next speaker, so I won't be able to run and give the microphone away. So is there anybody willing to act as my avatar in the meanwhile, just to bring the microphone to wherever is asking any question for Marilyn? You can do that. Oh, thank you very much. Any question for Marilyn?
Any question?
For the very last
meeting. Yeah, no worries. I'm very happy to do it.
No questions, apart. Thank you.